Church Community Church podcast. We pray that the Lord would use this resource to speak to your heart and that it would bring you defiant hope and joy in whatever season you're in. We hope you enjoy and are encouraged by this message.
Thank you, Jesus. The thing that, it's the only thing that will ever make your soul well is trust. Without trust, it does not matter what happens. Your soul will still not be well. It'll still be looking for its home. It'll be looking for where it belongs. Without trust, you can't feel like you're home. And so you won't feel like it's well. Always searching, never finding. And so to sing that out, even in the midst of whatever it is that life is bringing, to sing out, "It is well with my soul," to bring our life to God, is to say that we trust you, God, in the middle of whatever it is. I'm home and I belong with you here. We're going to do communion now. So if you need communion, you can raise your hand, or there's communion cups in the back. Our ushers have quite a task ahead of them, it would appear. A lot of people need communion. It's good. It'll take time, but it's good. Hold out your hand today. We're gonna make a trade, okay? Are you okay with making a trade? Well, you can even do it in your heart. I know that people have hands raised for other things. They're looking for communion. But we're gonna make a trade, and what we're gonna trade our humanity for his divinity. That's what we're going to do. Our humanity for his divinity. Our sin for his righteousness. Our shame for his approval. And it's going to be good. So if you have it and you're ready, perhaps yes, perhaps no, we're close. We're going to do this as a community, okay? As a church community, we're taking communion together. And we're all making the trade together. Our limited perspective, our smallness of mind and heart, our inability for his ability. And so we take the bread and we celebrate it. We say, "God, I give you my heaviness. I exchange it for your garment of praise. I'm going to praise you for who you are in my life because I see you as God. I see that you've taken everything, all of my sin, on your broken body." And we receive that together. Thank you, God. And we take the cup. I'm just seeing this in my heart. As we drink this, I want you to picture it. We got to activate the part of our mind that God gave us called our imagination. Okay? Let's activate it. God gave it to you. And we're going to see the truth. We're going to imagine it and see it, and it's true and it's real. As we take the cup, I want you to see your life. I want it to be like God is washing it. You know, like, have you ever seen those like videos online where somebody's like power washing a dirty rug, and it's just like dirt just bleh, coming off of it, and it's disgusting, and it's just like flooding everything with mud, but the rug is coming out spotless. That's what we're doing right now with our life. God is power washing us. You're power washed in Jesus' name, and only in Jesus' name are you power washed. So let's take the cup knowing that the shame is completely removed. The guilt of our sin is gone. Let's take it together. Yeah. You're clean. You're righteous. Not because you did anything to earn it, thank God. And the great freedom that brings you is that now you can never earn it. You have to receive it. You have to take it as a child would a parent. Every day of your life, we receive grace and mercy and cleansing. Thank you, God, for that. Yeah. Awesome. All right, kids. It's your time. We're going to have you walk on out. Can you walk on out like an elephant? Yeah, go for it. Walk out like an elephant would. If the feet are not loud enough, that's not elephant walking. We need big elephant steps. Yeah. There we go. Oh, they're awesome. Well, I hope you all had a good week this week. Yeah. Hope it was good. Yeah. Life is an interesting thing, isn't it? Every day has something new. You don't always know what you're walking into. But when you get there, the important thing is that you're walking with somebody who knows what's coming. If you're walking just as a mere human being, you won't know or be prepared. There is a sense, I do believe that God puts this in us as Christians. Sometimes he'll give you a sense of what's coming in your day. You might even just know it if you're awake to him. He likes to give us forewarnings. Well, this is very interesting. So we've been doing this series on fearless humility, talking about what it means to be fearless, and talking about what it means to be humble, and the great difference that exists between God and us. God is God, we're humans, right? And humility is found in acknowledging that relationship, that you're not God, he is. And also fearlessness is found in acknowledging that relationship. You aren't God, but he is. In our life, where we are most afraid are the places in which we do not see him as God. We see ourselves as God. Those are the places where we find the most fear because our trust is not in him, it's in ourselves or potentially in the different systems of the world that are oppressing us. So fearless humility, it's really all the same thing. You're not God, he is. I want to take you on a walk here real quick though. Are you okay with that, going on a little walk? Let's do a little scripture walk here because I am going to call out something that muddies the water just a tad, but not in a bad way, in a good way. Okay, 1 John 4:4. Remember, he's God, we're not. He's God, we're human. Okay? And also, 1 John 4:4. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. Speaking of the spirit of Antichrist, that's what the context is here. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Amen. What does it mean to be human as a Christian? It's a little different. Let's go to another one. John 14:12. Jesus sends out his disciples and says to them, actually it's when they return, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do because I am going to the Father. Greater works than Jesus did? From those who believe? Okay. Let's go to Luke 10, verse 19. Person on PowerPoint, I'm taking you out of order. You're awesome back there, on top of it. All right. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, so that having all sufficiency in all times, you may abound in every good work. I know we're just running through these. I'll tell you why. Galatians 2:20, it's another one. Check this out. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Last one. I love this. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Verse after verse after verse, telling you something. You're not merely a human. You're something else. And this is where sometimes things get confusing. Because you are a human, yes, but you're a new creature. You're born again into the heavenly family. God himself lives in you. That's amazing. That's really amazing, isn't it? And this is where, and I think this is perhaps sometimes where we find problems actually in church, is that because God lives in people, sometimes we put them on a pedestal. Because God lives in us, sometimes we think ourselves more special than we ought. And yet, it is still true that God lives in you. And yet, it is still true that God wants to put desires in you and ability to do whatever he's called you to do. This is where things get really interesting in the Christian life. Because it'd be one thing, right? We've been walking this road, and this is true. We're God's God and we're not. That's true. That's absolutely true. But where the Christian walk gets really fun is when you start recognizing, oh, God can do stuff through me? Oh, I can be just with him, being my normal human self, him being God, me being not God, him being God. And he can put something in my heart that says, hey, go tell this person something very specific that they need to hear today. Go pray over that individual. Go tell that person how much I love them. Go pray for that person. These little instincts from the Holy Spirit that we partner with him on, the places God wants to use us. See, we're not just weak human beings. We are. But we're weak human beings infused with the strength of God. Whoo! Well, that is something else, isn't it? One more verse here. Finally, be strong in the Lord. This is Ephesians 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Well, that tells the story, doesn't it? You know, we can walk this road a whole long time as Christians. This is funny. I was talking to even just Tim about this just right before service. There are people who go to church their whole life who've never met Jesus. They have never encountered him. They've never actually fully put their faith in him. They're coming to church and checking a box. The Christian life is something else, guys. If you expect, this is the wonderful thing. This is the good news. It's not bad. This is good news. Coming to Jesus transforms who you are. If you expect to fit into the culture in which you live and come to Jesus at the same time, I'm going to tell you, it doesn't really work, because Jesus' heavenly culture is different than the one we see on earth. He doesn't walk the same way as people. Oh, God, forgive us. Forgive us for loving the way other people love. That's not your way. Forgive us for loving in ways that people do, but not your way. Forgive us in speaking the ways people do, but not your way. Forgive us in relating to each other in the ways that people do, but not your way. Forgive me, God, for looking at my circumstances as though I'm in charge, but not your way. I want to walk in your way, God. Forgive us, Lord, for that. Forgive us for those unholy things. I want to pull this up. Just give me a second here, guys. I was reading this and... One second. It's going to take me a second to pull it up. I was reading about being merely human. Yeah, here it is. 1 Corinthians. If you've got your Bible, I don't have this on the slides. If you've got your Bible, please pull it up. Or if you've got a phone, the phone has the Bible on it, which is magic, right? You can find it. Just Bible Gateway or search Google or whatever. It's going to be 1 Corinthians 3. And we're going to be reading out of the NIV, New International Version. I'm going to give you like 2 seconds to find it here. And we're going to just start at verse 1. We're going to read a little bit here. Okay, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly. He couldn't address them for who they were meant to be. He had to address them as people who were just like the world in which they lived. Not as who they were, but as who they meant, who they were being. Mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. I mean, imagine Paul writing this to you. It's like, okay. Oof. And this is what he says. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? Mere humans. For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. We're going to stop there. This idea of being a mere human, merely human. You're not meant to be merely human. We did this last week and said this is the posture, right? We hang on with one hand to God, we open our hand, and we offer our life to God. We hang on with everything we have. We will not let go of his word or his promise or who he is. We're not going to let go of that no matter what. But we also, in hanging on to him, we let go of our life. But to operate as a mere human is to so frequently forget that God is even there. It's to forget his goodness over whatever circumstance in which we are acting as a mere human. And it is instead to latch on to something in this world that helps us feel secure. What Paul's bringing up here, what the people of the Corinthians church were, what they were latching on to, I'm going to call it what it is because we still see it today. It was Christian celebrity. They were latching on to an important Christian figure, either Paul or Apollos. And there was actually division because certain people were latching on to certain people. Well, this person gives me security. This person gives me security. And Paul is writing them going, why would you latch on to a person? Are you not acting like a mere human? Well, you're acting like people do. Why is it? Why do you care? But advertisements. Why do you care if somebody famous is advertising something to you? You know? Well, it's like, can an athlete really tell you that a cleaning supply works better? Well, LeBron James tells you about a cleaning supply. You're going to buy it? You will. Actually, you'll be more likely to. Why? Because he's famous. It's because everybody knows who he is. Well, Tom Brady tries selling you, what is it, Hertz? Get you to rent a car? Why would you rent a car because Tom Brady tells you to rent a car? That makes no sense. And yet they're paying him big money to tell you to buy a car. You know why? Because you will listen to him. Because that's what mere humans do. Mere humans latch on to important humans. They help them feel safe and confident. They help them feel protected. And like the decision they're making raises their status, perhaps, even, in the culture in which they live. We need to let go. This was interesting. I was praying a lot. Like, sometimes God does this thing, and then I ask you guys to actually maybe be aware of this in your own life. It's something new. One of my friends was talking to me about this, was talking about when you see things repeatedly over and over and over again, that might be God trying to get your attention. It really might be. Sometimes that's the way God works. He puts things in your life over and over and over again. And so, weirdly, really weird, over the past week, I've been seeing the word Hercules all over the place. I'm not like into like ancient Greek mythology or anything like that. Like, I don't care. I don't really even like the Disney movie Hercules. It's not my thing. I'm not into Hercules. I know, you can boo me, it's fine. There's some good songs in the movie. It's just not for me. So it's not my thing, and yet everywhere I'm going, it's just like Hercules is jumping out of me. Hercules, Hercules, Hercules. What is this? Somebody on his tool, like, I'm just walking down the road. Somebody's working on their house, their tool bag says Hercules. I don't even know what that is. Is that a brand? I don't know. Stuff like this, right? And so I'm asking God about this, and I'm like, what is this? I'm seeing this thing. Help me understand what this means, if it means anything. And felt like I should throw it into Grok. I've transitioned from ChatGPT to Grok, by the way. I know, some of you are ChatGPTers. We're going to have factions now over AI. One says that, yeah. All right. But one thing it called out, so I threw in, just tell me about Hercules, Grok. Tell me about it. Who's Hercules? Tell me about him. One thing that stood out to me, and it's this. I think in some sense, Hercules, you might bring up, if we're to transition to like more of a biblical story, maybe Samson, right? That's the biblical truth in character. But this is what it says. Hercules embodies resilience, courage, and perseverance, but is also flawed, prone to rage and tragic mistakes. His stories often highlight the tension between divine strength and human vulnerabilities. And boy, do I see that in the Christian life. See, the thing is, I think God's doing this in the earth. If you've been a Christian for a while, and I don't highlight this stuff to like highlight it, but there's been a lot of Christian leaders lately who I think this is God. God has been sort of rooting some people in like major, we call them celebrities, major Christian leaders, been rooting them out and showing off their sin basically to the world for everybody to see and taking them out of their positions of authority because of their sin and the things they've done wrong. We've seen that. I've seen that as a trend, and many people have. It's not just me. That's been happening. And I think really perhaps what God is trying to get at with this is he's trying to come back to us and say, why are you guys all trusting in people? Don't you see these leaders who I've legitimately used, legitimately, very powerful men and women of God who I have used? They're just people, guys. They're flawed. So why is your faith in a person? Why? We latch on to these people as though we're married to them. They're just people. Wouldn't it be better to get your hands on Jesus? Because here's the thing. It's not even just about having your heart broken through people doing things wrong. That does happen. There's a lot of people who have church hurt over that. I think the bigger problem, actually, though, is when you latch onto a person and you start following them and you take them as your guide and you take them maybe as your standard and say, I want to make myself like them. What you're actually doing is you're relieving the world of the creation that God made, which is you. God didn't make you to be somebody else. He created you because he had purposes for you in mind. And if we make someone else into an image that we pursue, we'll never be what God called us to be. It's so much easier to see a person, isn't it? And latch onto a person and say, I'm gonna model myself after their behavior. I'm gonna take what they say and follow it. Well, that's really great. And you know what? God uses people. But are you listening for God, or are you just listening to the person because you just trust them implicitly? It's a different thing. And so my greatest concern, and maybe I don't know where this is coming from, guys, but my greatest concern in my heart for everybody who follows leaders called men is that you would become something you were never supposed to become. That's the fear. This morning, I was just praying a little bit, and one of my sons, Teddy, my kids are just really interesting, guys. And I'm sure everyone's kids are this way. But so Teddy did this drawing probably about 6 months ago. If we could throw the first picture up there so everyone can see it. Okay, this is Teddy's drawing. Interesting drawing. Really interesting. And it's just like, that's what Teddy draws. Okay, and so, but he does something special with this. And it's a weird looking little guy, right? This guy does not look normal by any means. He's very strange looking. I don't know what he's modeling this after at all. I've never seen a creature like this. But if we go to the next slide, this is what gets me. The mouth opens up. And in there, I don't even know if you can see it. It might not be big enough, but it says the word normal. But it's spelled N-O-R-M-E-L, normal. On this weird-looking dude, opens his mouth, here comes normal. And this was just like hitting me this morning, and I don't know what Teddy's intent with this was at all, but who knows. But I'm seeing it, and I'm going, ooh. This is what happens when we try to make ourselves like other people. We start talking and acting like we're normal, not knowing that it's coming out as normal. It's just a bit off. I want to be what God called me to be, but I'm going to be normal. Well, you know what you're going to be is normal. You're not going to be normal. You're going to be normal. And everyone's going to be looking, going, huh, something there is just off. What is it? Something there is just not quite right. Huh. Well, it's because you're normal. You're not called to be normal. God did. When your mouth opens and the words come out of you, I mean, look at Jesus. Was Jesus normal in any sense? He didn't fit this culture he lived in at all. His disciples didn't. We were not meant, and this is, I'm not saying like, hey, we should be divisive against each other or not get along. What I'm saying truthfully is this: God has a call and a purpose for your life. And don't you want to experience what that is? You only get one life, and there's only one of you that will ever exist. And you're here today and gone tomorrow. Don't you want to live out the thing God called you to live out? Don't you think that actually matters to God? You are a rarity on the earth, unique. And every time you start seeking after men, the approval of people, that's one, but also seeking success and modeling after others who've had success, suddenly you start talking normal. And I'm so cautious of this because I've been influenced by people for sure in my life. For sure. We all have. Good ways and bad. But as I bring my heart to God, and even as I'm up here preaching, I just go, Jesus, I don't want to be normal. I'd rather be weird than normal. You know? I'd rather be peculiar, to maybe use a King James term. I'd rather be peculiar. You're a peculiar people, a chosen people, but peculiar in that you are unique and set apart, in that you are not meant to be like everybody else, in that God created you to live inside you as his temple, living stones, building up the house of God. That's never going to be normal, guys. That's never going to fit. And my heart breaks. It literally breaks. I don't know how else to say this. My heart literally breaks when I see people trying to measure up to other Christians. Like, what? Stop doing that. Because you're not supposed to be like them. God created you, and he can mold you. He's the potter. Don't do that. Just keep walking towards him and saying, God, how do you want me to live out today? What is my sound? What are the words that you have? As we've been doing this thing with church, where we've just, it's been transition. Every day it seems like I'm encountering God on this idea, which is that as a church, we're not going to be anything we've seen before. We're not going to be anything we've seen before. As soon as we start trying to be or model ourselves after or act like a church we've seen before, we're going to start looking normal. And in being normal, people will come in and go, I don't really feel like I fit here. Well, you know why they don't fit is because you're asking them to be normal. You don't realize that, but you are. But then nobody wants to be normal. It's just off. Ugh, my soul. Ugh. It just cringes. I don't want to be that. They don't even know why. They can't even put it to words, right? But we all know. We know what that feels like. In my career, there have been positions I've been in and company structures I've been in where I'm just like, this was weird. There was one structure I was in where the company would have they'd have the managers go out for like dinner once a quarter or something, and like the company would pay for it. And it was kind of cool. You get to get out of work early, right, and go with the other managers. But the culture of that group of managers was this: to talk bad about all their employees. That was the culture. And they would rag on them and laugh about what they did wrong and their weird behaviors. It was this venting session always. And that was the entirety of the conversation. And I'm sitting there going, oh, I don't want to be a part of this. That's not who I am. I mean, yeah, I see that these people got some flaws, but I don't want to just be digging into them constantly. That's not me. Why is it not me? Because that's not who God created me to be. I had this sense. I had this, and so I'm sitting in this, and eventually I just kind of had to stop talking in these meetings because it was like, I couldn't shift the direction of that conversation. I couldn't change it. So I just said, okay, I'm out. I'll be here. I'll eat the food. If you engage me, I'll talk. I'm not participating in this, though. That's not who I am. That sense of identity, though, to be different in a culture only comes by being fully united with Christ. It comes from a place of fearless humility. It comes from, I'm latching on to God and God alone and who he says I am. And I am going to let go. I am going to let go of people's opinions of me in this meeting. I'm going to let go of people's thoughts about, well, Jack never joins in on anything, right? I'm going to let go because I care way more about who God made me to be rather than who people made me to be. You were bought with a price. Your life's not your own. You actually have no right to it. It's not just a decision we make. You were bought with a high price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. That's heavy. I want to pray over you. I'm going to just pray over you. I pray for courage to be different. not for the sake of being different, but because God made you different. I pray for the courage to have no reference point. I pray for the courage to have no reference point other than Jesus. I pray for the courage to cut off ungodly relationships. I pray for the courage to be different in your workplaces, to be holy in your friend circles. I pray for the courage to be unique, not for yourself, but to God. I pray for courage in your heart, that you wouldn't shrink back from that calling. Your life's not your own. It belongs to Jesus. So what are you prepared to do? What are you prepared to do? Your life's not your own. You don't get a say in this. You do, but you don't. Jonah's an interesting story. Jonah's an interesting story. He thought he was running away from God. And maybe in his heart he was. But God doesn't give up that easy. You don't get to run, Jonah. When the storm came, Jonah knew it was because he was running. And he said, "Throw me overboard." That's Jonah's surrender moment, at least the first step of it. But he recognized that the storm was there to turn him around. Let's examine. Let's pray. If you're in a storm, examine and pray. Ask God. It's a holy question. This is a separate question. Say, "God, are you trying to redirect me here? Am I actually running from something?" I'm just gonna speak out over you guys, okay? I'm hearing it in my heart. There's somebody here who went to church at a young age, and then you didn't go to church for a while. It's almost like Jonah is like this picture for you, where you ran away, but now you're coming home. You ran away, but now you're coming back. And it's like you didn't get the choice, actually. Like, you thought you did, but you kind of did, I guess you sort of did, but your choice is so influenced by the storm and now the belly of the fish been rotten guts all around you. I guess it's your choice. Yeah, prodigal son, I guess it's your choice, but what are you going to choose when you're eating slop with pigs? Doesn't God have a part to play in this, in turning you back, in turning your life around? Isn't it time, Jonah, prodigal, Moses even, isn't it time to come back to your calling? There's a burning bush experience here for you where God's calling you back to your initial calling. And it never left. Always known where you are. Come back. This call to come back has been strong in me over the past, month or so. Lord, come back. Yeah, we receive it, God. We receive it. You're our home, Jesus. You're our home. We receive it.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. We hope you leave here closer to the Lord and encouraged in your faith. If you would like to support our ministry, you can go to themergecc.com and click on the donate button at the bottom of the screen. Thank you and God bless.